Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Our buddy Tom Ackerman joins us. What's up, Aki?
What's up, Dave? How are you?
Good, my friend. I want to start out with a comprehensive thought about the Cardinals and an analogy. I'm kind of the king of analogies. So, Tom, as you know, there are shows that we do where you can't miss. There are DGS episodes where everything I say is smart and funny, and I'm just skipping through the show. Then there are other shows where I can't find anything smart or funny with both hands. And you feel it. I feel that with the Blues. Like, I've never seen a sport more where in the first 10 seconds you can tell if a team is flat or if the team is on fire. And I'm beginning to feel that way with the Cardinals. And too much of the time, like that second game in KC, you just kind of know it's not going to go your way. Am I being overly critical, overly egocentric and getting in my own mind, or do you guys kind of relate to what I'm saying?
I think you're being realistic. You know, the Cardinals need to show that they can separate themselves from the pack of just another team. You know, that they're just another Major League Baseball team that comes to town and you play them or you go to Busch Stadium and see them. You know, how do they become special? What can they do to change the dynamic? They have a few bright spots. I mean, they have a pitching staff that's good. Not great, but it's good. They have an exceptionally good closer who was their lone all-star this year in Ryan Helsley. And then they have a very special group of young players that are upcoming, and two of them have had really good years, Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson. And there are others, of course, that have contributed. Nolan Gorman has shown signs that he can hit the ball a long way, strikes out a lot. But they have young players that I think can change the dynamic. So the move that they made today is the kind of thing that they need to do here down the stretch just to change things up. And perhaps it proves to be a move that can take them to a different level. I think the Tommy Pham trade also qualifies as one of those moments where they brought in a little, you know, bolt of lightning, and we'll see how long it can last. But Jordan Walker, you know, Jordan Walker is not just some player. He's not a charity case either, like they're giving him a look because they like him. I mean, Jordan Walker last year was an impactful player. He has one of the best bats in the organization still, even though he struggled to find it. He's starting to get hot, and maybe, you know, he starts in right field today. He can continue that hot streak, knock one out of the park against a pitcher who tends to give him up. And then, you know, we see what happens from there. But really, when it comes to the Cardinals, you know, that's the thing. It's like you watch them, you want to be wowed. It's your team. You want to have some hope that they can go win a World Series. You got to get your best players, Arenado and Goldschmidt, playing at Arenado and Goldschmidt type levels, and then perhaps the Jordan Walker addition can take them over the edge.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with that part, Tommy. And we've all been saying this all year. I mean, if this team is going to be what it was capable of being, it's got the stars have to be the stars. I mean, Ken Hitchcock used to say it all the time. Your best players need to be your best players. So when you look at this stretch, you've got 44 games left. 85 wins is currently the pace for the last wild card spot in the National League. So they need to win 29 of those 44 games. I'm sorry, 25 of those 44 games to get to 85. And that may or may not be enough. So you got to shoot for a little bit better than that. And after the series against the Reds, you play the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Twins, the Padres, the Yankees, the Brewers. That's a bunch of first-place teams. Those are all playoff teams, and some of them are the best teams in baseball. So if whatever's going to happen needs to happen in these next 3 weeks, because if it doesn't happen
Absolutely.
In 3 weeks, September may not matter.
I totally agree. I think it's got to happen by the end of this month and probably earlier than that, and probably in this next week. They're going to have a schedule set up for success because they had the day off yesterday. That kind of resets them a little bit after 16 straight days. Three games against the Reds, who, of course, will be treating it like the World Series. They always do over there when the Cardinals come to town, but that's all right. You go in there in a park where you can hit home runs, you got to hit them. I mean, you got to score. And then you get a day off before the Dodgers come into town, and you have a big crowd. It'll be electric in there. People are going to come in to see Shohei Ohtani. I saw just now that Mookie Betts has been activated, so here we go. It's going to be, you know, an exciting weekend, but the Dodgers are a good team. Then you get a day off, and then the Brewers. So you have a schedule that's set up to rest your bullpen, to rest your players, built-in days off. It's a good thing. So in this next week, we're going to learn a lot about the ball club. And, you know, we can look at some of these other teams, these superpowers like the Dodgers and the Yankees and to some extent the Padres, who spent like crazy as well, and say, well, why can't the Cardinals be like that? Well, you know, when's the last time that the Cardinals had the highest payroll or among the highest payrolls in baseball? They typically don't. I mean, even their best players of our era that we've experienced here, Pujols, Molina, Wainwright, basically all homegrown guys. Wainwright was drafted by the Braves, but he ended up his entire career as a Cardinal. Yadi the same, and Albert grew up here and played here. So, you know, it's a team that they are set in their ways. They want to grow talent, and they want it to be grown within the organization. And they'll go out and they'll make trades. But when they were at their best, their very best, they got aggressive at the deadline. They got aggressive in the offseason, and they went after stars. And it all the stars aligned for them at the same time. So they went out and got good players, but also those young players developed into stars. And I think that's what they're hoping, is they can get the same formula going. Does that mean they can win it all in 24? They're going to have a lot of things go their way at this point. But they can get there, and that's pretty much all you can ask at this point. Can they get in to the playoffs and try to make a run?
Guys, is there much that anyone not on the field can do other than building the roster? Because if you look at Kevin's 14 and under, Tommy, if you look at your daughter's lacrosse team, you can yell at them, you can get them hyped up, it works, they get excited, they run faster, they play more aggressively. We're talking about grown men making millions of dollars. Does that happen in Major League Baseball? Come on, boys, let's win one for the Gipper, or is it just they have to go to work and be professionals?
I think that it does to an extent. I think that they do follow the leader when it comes to, so like Yadier Molina was the leader of this team. When he walked into the clubhouse, they knew right there the mood is set. It's time to go play. If he came in, he was intense and ready to go, which he always was. They followed his lead. Albert did the same thing for them in 22. But really, it comes down to the reaction to performance. So they look at the preparation, they're going to go about their business as professionals. They're not, you know, going to hold a big rally in the clubhouse before the game. They're all going to go do their work. And then if they come out in the first inning and Goldschmidt hits the ball a mile, or Pham or Arenado, you go look in that dugout. I mean, they are pumped. They're not just sitting there standing and smiling. They're pumped. They're pumping their fists. They're high-fiving. And that's what gets a clubhouse going, is when you get the result of all the hard work that goes in. It's just a long, long grind of a season. So making speeches, you know, you can play one game and not perform well, and the next 2 days play great, and then the next day it doesn't go well. You got to find some sort of consistency, and it just comes down to doing your work, routine, finding new ways, reviewing film, watching video, talking to your coaches, and trust. You know, you have to be able to trust that the guy and the locker next to you is doing his job, but you have to do your job. Look, why am I on this team? What is my role on this team? How do I become great for everybody else? I'm going to trust that that guy next to me is doing the exact same thing, and that's when you go win championships.
So let's take it one series at a time. Set up the Reds for us there, Wheels.
Wheels can. Wheels, you would agree with me that The biggest key here is controlling their running game. This team can flat out run, and they have all that speed. That's what makes them scary.
Well, they're the best team in baseball at stealing bases, and the Cardinals have been one of the worst at stopping base stealers. We talked a little bit about that before, but and I saw that Derek Gould put out the numbers on it. The numbers are stark. Because it used to be that nobody ran on the Cardinals, and now everybody does. Some of it's on the catchers, some of it's on the pitchers. I mean, it's a combination of them. A lot of it's skewed by how much Ivan Herrera played when Contreras was hurt, because Herrera is terrible at throwing out runners. But Wilson and Pies, they're not great either. They're okay. Wilson is normally good, though, so I'm wondering if it's some of it is the time he missed, and maybe there's some element to this, too, where the pitchers aren't particularly quick. They don't look particularly quick to me. This is a team that used to be very good at that, and I'm not sure that this team is very good at that, so it'll be interesting. I also think the hard part here is Cardinals got a lefty today. They've stunk against lefties. Do they get a little bit better with Tommy Pham in there and Jordan Walker, a little more right-handed punch? And then to me, a lot of it comes down to tomorrow. Hunter Green's pitching, and he's going to be bringing 100 miles an hour for probably six innings. And, you know, what do you do with that? So these first two games, a lot of it's going to come down to can you score? Because the Reds are a team that, you know, if you put people on base, they will take advantage. So, but they've had their own problems. I mean, they've got troubles. You should be able to go get two out of three against them. But, you know, how much do you control those little things?
Yeah, I like my chances today if I'm the Cardinals. You have Abbott pitching, and even though he's a lefty, they had some success the last time Tampa Bay threw a lefty at him, and Arenado has great numbers against this pitcher. So I think he hits like 500 against him. So I'm looking for a good game out of Arenado, who looks like he's starting to heat up. Goldschmidt as well, hopefully Walker, and definitely Sonny Gray. I mean, he's got to set the tone and make the hitters uncomfortable, work both sides of the plate, all that good stuff, just to keep them off balance, keep them off the bases, and give the Cardinals a chance to score some runs and win the ball game. And then, like you said, then you take your chances with Hunter tomorrow. But yeah, it's an interesting series. You know, the Reds did the Cardinals a favor yesterday. They beat the Brewers. There will be no favors handed out today. Like I said, the Reds seem to ramp up the intensity, just like the Cubs do, just like the Royals do when they play the Cardinals.
Yeah, and I would throw this in as a topper, because we mentioned Goldie and Arenado having to be good, and in August Arenado's been pretty productive, and mm-hmm. Goldie has been a little bit better. But productive and a little bit better is not good enough. They need to be stars for the next 5 or 6 weeks. And that's true for Sonny Gray. And I'll tell you, the guy that is killing them right now is Miles Michaelis. He has to be better. He has to be better than he's been. He's being paid $18 million a year for a reason. He needs to be better. Not to say he's got to be an ace, but he's got to be better, because if he's not, you cannot rely on Pallante. You cannot put the weight on Kyle Gibson, who also has kind of slowed down a little bit here in the last month or so. Miles has to carry a big part of the load. So, I mean, if we put it on, if you look at the top of the Cardinals' payroll, those guys need to start playing to their paycheck or they will not make the playoffs.
No, you're totally right. I mean, the big boys have got to come through. I love that Goldie had a 430-foot home run the other day against the Royals. That was a good sign. He crushed that ball. But, yeah, Michaelis. Now, that was the one pitcher that you didn't worry about. You know, Michaelis was supposed to be the steady guy. He was supposed to be the guy who gives you a quality start, who pitches to contact but lets the defense make plays, not give up crooked numbers. You know, you can't give up five runs in an inning or whatever. I mean, it has gotten a little out of hand. And now with Lance Lynn on the IL and hopefully coming back, you're shorthanded there. So you've got to be able to get your starter going deeper into the game, keep them off the board as best you can, and then let your bullpen take care of business, and we'll see if they can get that bullpen reset, because that was not a good bullpen performance on Saturday in Kansas City.
Nope.
All right, buddy. We thank you, Tom, as always.
Anytime, boys. Thank you.
324 DGS. Dave Murray coming up next. Some fun facts?
Yes.
The guy has set the world record for playing World of Warcraft. Want to guess how many hours straight he played?
I'm going to say somewhere in the area of like 630.
I was going to say like 72 hours or something like
630
that.
630 hours?
I mean, that's the world record for staying awake. I think you could play World of Warcraft that long.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. 78 hours.
Ooh, I was close.
78 hours, 30 minutes. He got a 5-minute break each hour, which he spent eating and playing with his dogs.
Amateur.
Someone stayed awake for 600 hours?
Yeah, I believe I saw that. Because there's a streamer right now that's trying to set a record of like 200-something hours, 260, and they got like the police went to their house, but ultimately decided to let him stay. But they say that can do... I mean, 200, that does like irreparable damage to your brain.
Yeah, that's 10 days, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't do that.
What's the worst you've had, Rach?
You know, in the past I've been like, oh, I've gone 5 days without sleeping. But I mean, I had to have fallen asleep at some point. Yeah. It just feels like you're not sleeping, so.
The first ever cell phone call was placed on April 3rd, 1973, when one of the engineers at Motorola who built the phone walked out onto the street and called a competitor at AT&T to brag.
That's kind of awesome.
That's a boss move right there.
And the second one was from you in the car phone.
Yes. Yes. God. The guy who invented Pokemon got the idea from a game for the game where you collect rare monsters because he collected bugs as a kid.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
And the original kind of landscape is built upon his where he used to hang out and look for bugs. Yep. The Kanto region of Japan, which it's also named after.
He's bringing
got,
the facts.
He's got fun facts on top of the
fun
facts.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
I do know a lot of fun facts about Pokemon.
Is Pokemon Go still a thing?
Oh, yeah. I don't play. I never really got into it, but there are still people who, they just had a big, like, festival in Los Angeles, I think, where it was, like, where, like, thousands of people showed up at this park, and you pay tickets, and
I think you
fest.
Should Pokemon Go to the polls.
But this year, you definitely should Pokemon Go to the polls, as Hillary said.
Mm-hmm.
She said that?
Yeah, in 2016.
I don't remember that.
She's like, I don't know much about Pokemon Go, but I think you should Pokemon Go to the polls.
Yeah, they were inspiring the young voters.
Mm-hmm. It was right after it came out, and somebody asked her if she played, you know, one of those goofy softball questions, and she was like, I don't know, but I hope they all Pokemon Go to the polls.
So I voted for Trump the first time.
You know what would be great, too, is if whenever a candidate says something like that, they should have an advisor behind them that just smacks him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah.
A whop and just go, no, don't say that.
A truck hauling 48,000 pounds of molasses. That is a lot of molasses.
I bet that truck was slow.
Crashed into a truck loaded with manure.
Oh.
The truck caught fire and 1,000 pounds of molasses spilled out onto the highway, blocking the road for 6 hours.
Oh, man.
Mm. Sounds like quite an ordeal.
And you can't even eat it because of the manure.
Because of the poop.
How many times have you said that?
Even if there wasn't manure, I don't think I would want to eat the highway molasses at that point.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
3:35 DGS and KMOX. We'll be here about another hour, out a little bit early for Cardinal baseball. Game will be at 5:40, pregame at 4:45. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hi there. What a weekend, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. No friggin' kidding. Before we jump into the weather, I have a sort of weather geography question for everyone. So I don't know if anyone's ever heard of Point Nemo. It's in the middle of the South Pacific. It is the farthest place on the planet away from land. It's like 1,700 miles from anywhere, Easter Island, things like that.
Wow.
It, not like being shipwrecked or on a raft or something. If you were on a nice yacht and you're going to make it to land... But, it's the opposite of claustrophobia, but I guess I have both. That would really freak me out, just being that far away from other human beings. Would it do that to you guys?
Yeah.
In time, yeah. I think in time.
Not so much the being away from other people, but the if something went wrong, is nobody getting here to help.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They said the closest humans to you, can you guess? The people in the space station.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And they can't leave.
That's
either.
Wild.
That's the best.
Right?
That is good.
And they're stuck, so.
Yeah. Right. Help me. No, you help me. Give me help. No, get me help.
Just jump.
Just don't call Boeing.
No, they'll just make it worse.
So interesting week coming up, right, Dave?
Yeah, it's you know, it's nothing like the weekend. It's a little more unsettled, but we're not talking about all day rains. It just doesn't happen this time of year. We have to wait till November for that. But we've had some rain around today. Today may in fact be the wettest day of the week. Mainly just light rain showers and drizzle around right now. Let's take that up to about 8 o'clock this evening, and then after that, things kind of quiet down. Not much. Tomorrow is primarily a dry day, partly sunny, 81, but I do think there'll be some spotty thunderstorms around Tuesday afternoon. I don't see a lot, a little bit of a break. Wednesday, morning showers and thunderstorms scattered about, then partly sunny, 83. Thursday and Friday, let's warm it up to 88 each day, a little more humidity, And there will be a few thunderstorms around Thursday and Friday, but in between, partly sunny skies. It does look like the pattern will break and we get back into a surface-based northwest flow. So this upcoming weekend looks pretty good, too.
Nice. Dave, looking ahead, I know that September can be a hot month. Even October, we can get pretty hot. When can we kind of start to kiss the 95s goodbye, typically?
I like about the third week of September. The chances of that are pretty slim.
Okay. Fair
answer. We're not done yet. I'm getting a lot of Facebook stuff and a lot of emails of, summer's over, right? The big heat is over. No, we're not ready to put a fork in that yet.
Yeah, fair enough. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, Elon Musk is going to interview Donald Trump on X tonight, formerly known as Twitter. It will stream at 8 p.m. Eastern time, so 7 p.m. our time. Musk says the interview will be unscripted with no limits on subject matter, and it marks a return to Twitter for Trump. He's been, you know, not posting since he got kicked off, and then Elon welcomed him back on, but he still refused to post. He's posted a couple times today in anticipation of the interview tonight.
We're just talking about the Trump AI thing. You're either right or you're wrong on this, and what am I trying to say? What a stupid or brave thing to allege. Because if Kamala Harris really did fake this gigantic rally and the plane wasn't even there and no one was there and the reporters weren't even there, the whole thing's fake. Look, this guy has four arms. Story of the year, and she's done. But if you're wrong, shouldn't there be consequences?
This is something we're just going to keep seeing more and more of as time passes. Every time someone sees something that they don't like, they're going to say that it's AI. Or they're going to accuse. We're going to see it in every single election from here on out.
I bet it comes up tonight. That's why I brought that up. I bet it comes up tonight.
Yeah, what's easier to fake? A TikTok video where you have time to edit and move everything around, or 10,000 person crowd, or whatever it was, in real life, in a place where people would have seen them coming and going? Like, where
but they do that in the movies. You know, you could show huge crowds in a movie and there's nobody there.
Right. No, what I'm saying is there's like a lot of people that like work at an airport that would say there were no people here.
Well, that's
That's what was alleged, was that like a maintenance worker from the airport said there wasn't that many people there. And then so it turned into this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm just so tired of arguing about crowd size.
Oh, I know it.
Amen.
It's been a thing since 2016 issues, and the inauguration. Amen. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't care. I don't care how many people were there. I don't care. Yeah. I wasn't there. I didn't show up.
Here's the thing that it's really difficult, though. And this is where we were talking earlier about believability and what you're going to, like, conspiracy theories and things like what makes you believe. A random person that's never, like, whenever you hear a story that starts with, you know, a friend of mine heard someone say, well, then that's not a thing, right? I mean, if this person is actually real, then where are the conversations?
Yeah.
Who are they talking to? Who did they say it to? Where'd you get the information? Was it from a website? Was it somebody make it up on TikTok? Like, where'd you get it? Did you ask the person yourself?
Do you have, because Rach and I watch a lot of CNN and we criticize a lot of CNN. Would you trust CNN, because they were there, to say there were only 1,400 people there and the rest was AI? Would you trust them to out that story?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Look at what happened with the inauguration thing with Trump. There were a lot of people that were like, well, this is not the real crowd. This is a different crowd. This was a crowd from some other march that went on years before or whatever. I mean, I think people would do that. I don't think it takes a real. Well, of course, people have been pushed that all of these outlets are trying to lie to you and fool you for how many years now? You know, 20, 30 years that's been going on, the undermining of that. And the problem is a lot of these outlets don't do themselves any favors by being biased or by being slanted or by taking bad positions or by getting things wrong. Like, they're not helping this out. But yeah, I don't believe that the entire world would cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would be like, nope, it's real when it wasn't. Somebody would be pointing it out. I mean,
I would hope so.
How many news outlets are out there that are not MSNBC, CNN, and whatever. I mean, you know, they exist. They wouldn't be able to uncover it.
Yeah, Fox News would report that.
I would think so.
Okay.
Okay, Americans are saying enough is enough with inflation. It's beginning to cool down, in part because Americans are simply fed up with paying higher prices. Economists say consumers have begun searching for cheaper alternatives or changing their buying habits completely rather than continuing to make expensive purchases. That's convinced companies that they can't raise prices any further, pushing inflation rates towards pre-pandemic levels.
Where did you guys notice it the most in your personal lives?
I mean, funny enough, it's kind of a punchline in itself, but fast food, you know, when suddenly, you know, where you use, or just restaurants in general, just where you used to go out to eat and you'd spend, you know, $25 for you and your partner to eat. Now suddenly it was closer to 35 and you go like, wow, that is quite the jump. Or fast food when you go through and what used to be 10 bucks all in at McDonald's is now $17.99 or whatever. And
I am famously not a price checker. Like at the grocery store, that's my level of wealth is being able to like hit my debit card and know it's going to go through, which I did not have that luxury for much of my life.
Yeah.
But now when I do notice, it's like, I swear that used to be $5.99, now it's $8.99.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what I see in the grocery store too. It's like, wait a minute, just like 2 months ago, this was $3 cheaper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There are some things that you have to buy, right? I mean, you have to buy gas if you're going to drive to work. You have to buy food, but you don't have to buy the most expensive food.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to eat out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people complain a lot about the tickets for sporting events. They're too expensive. Well, guess what? If you stop buying them, the price will come down.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it with all the restaurants now. People stop doing it,
right,
and all of a sudden, whoa, look at this, guys. It's cheaper again.
Yeah, I wanted to get a nice filet, treat myself to a nice filet mignon, make it in the air fryer. So good. $29.99 a pound. And I'm like, you know what?
Nope.
No, don't need it that bad.
Not going to do it.
No. I mean, I've definitely, I'm like you, Dave. I don't usually check on the basic things, but there are times if I'm thinking about do it, like, what was it? It was the road trip when I was going to go to Cheesecake Factory. And I'm like, it's going to cost me $40 just for me. I'd rather get something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kamala Harris says she supports eliminating taxes on tips, mirroring Donald Trump. This has upset Donald Trump. He called her a copycat on
True
Social
this weekend. Wouldn't that be a good
thing, though? Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy that they both support eliminating taxes on tips. I think it's a good thing.
You know what I wish Kamala would stop doing? And I understand why she does it. It's like being a stand-up comedian. And you tell the same joke city after city after city. And she keeps doing the thing like, I put perpetrators away and sex offenders, and I know Donald Trump's type. Like, she's using the same tropes over and over again, getting big applause, but just personally, because you see every one of them covered now, I just wish she would come up with new stuff.
I would agree. I would say, forget who you want to vote for or anything, I would say that a really good thing to highlight is your areas of agreement. And say, my opponent, look, I agree on those tax things. I'm going to do that, too. And, oh, you know what? I agree on this other thing, and I'm going to do that, too. Because if you're always making it about how much the other person's an idiot or how horrible they are, well, then what happens when they agree with you on things? I would almost think there's a play, whether you're Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, is to find those areas and say, hey, that's not even a difference between us. I'm going to do that, too. So if you like that, you should like me.
And one more story here. The federal government wants to make it easier to unsubscribe. A new initiative called Time is Money will include new regulations that keep companies that make it difficult. We'll include new regulations that keep companies that make it difficult to cancel subscriptions or memberships. They will get in trouble.
Amen.
White House advisors say that this wastes people's money and wastes people's time with paperwork, hold times, and general aggravation. FCC begins its efforts this week.
It should be as easy to cancel as it is to start.
Absolutely.
And if I could start with a press of a button, I should be able to cancel with a press of a button.
I wish places would make it easier for me to give them my money. There's so many things I try. I get it if I'm trying to take your money, put up some hurdles, but when I'm trying to pay a credit card bill, but I forgot my login because I have a million logins, and it's like, well, going to need that birth certificate.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do a blood test, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
You know how you have vanity things? Like, oh, I just, that's not for me. I have one of those. It's probably really dumb. I don't think I will ever be able to bring myself to drink in Shure.
Okay.
Nick used to drink it, and Nick's very young, like when he was trying to gain weight and, you know, lift weights and things like that. I'm sure it's very healthy. I'm sure it has lots of protein, but I've seen my mom drink so many of them, so many of them at the nursing home. I see ads, and it's always someone my age, and I'm like, not today, sir.
Let's get different brands.
Yeah, about like a Premier protein
drink?
Nope.
Muscle Milks are good.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Can't even sounds good. Muscle Milk.
Plus, I think I...
That does not sound good.
Yeah, that doesn't sound dirty. Plus, I think... I don't think I would like it, so that kind of helps me
it
out.
It tastes
too.
Like chocolate milk.
Yeah.
So if you don't like chocolate milk, you won't like
anything like that? Anything that there's prohibitive to you?
Hmm. Might have to start drinking.
Like right, going to bed at 7 p.m., that kind of thing?
Yeah, I need to swear that off. I need to not do that anymore. That was...
Stay asleep the whole night, though, huh?
Yeah. Like I said, I woke up around 9:30 extremely confused and then went straight to bed. And then, you know.
There's no confusion like that confusion.